was a an example, and he didn't necessarily claim it in so many words in Philippians 4 and 9, but he says, what you've learned, what you've received, what you've heard, what you've seen, those aspects that were evident in his life, he said, that's what I want you to do. And so the learning, the receiving, the hearing, the seeing, those aspects of experience and knowledge and blessing are what the Lord desires to put into our lives. And then the rest of the lesson text you can read. But I like the way positive things are emphasized. Norman Vincent Peale, Robert Schuller, Napoleon Hill, Dale Carnegie, all of these guys wrote quite a while ago about being positive. And a lot of their, well, Norman Vincent Peale, The Power of Positive Thinking. A lot of ministers relegated that to New Age philosophy or ideas and shelved it, put it aside. I've read it, and the scriptures are quoted and referred to actually quite a bit, and I kind of like it because Jesus accented the positive. He didn't go around saying, oh, you follow me, things are really going to be bad. You know, it was upbeat, it was positive, it was powerful. Now, he did warn that there's going to be persecution, you will suffer for my name's sake, and so on. But we recognize how important the positive aspects are. Here's a study by no less authority than the Mayo Clinic. Stop negative self-talk. calling yourself dummy and, worse is negative self-talk. And you have to remember the Lord calls you his son, his daughter. Don't be talking down the Lord's family. Don't be bad-mouthing what the Lord has done. And their study said, positive thinking to stop negative self-talk to reduce stress. And they found that it's true. It works. And what I've noticed is that when we are engaging in negative self-talk, our faith gets lowered. I've never seen my faith go up when I've called myself a dummy and all of that sort of thing. It lowers faith. And it lowers the expectation of what the Lord can do for you. Because then you start thinking, I don't deserve. I'm not worthy. Of course we're not worthy. Of course we don't deserve it. If we got what we deserved, it would be terrible. But the Lord in his mercy extends that love and that blessing to us. And I thank God for it. Amen. The old optimist-pessimist argument, about the glass. Well, the optimist and the pessimist were presenting their theories. The opportunist drank it. So we got to take the opportunity that the Lord gives us, and hopefully what he drank was good. And we definitely need to focus on what is positive. And the themes of the scripture are positive. Again, difficulty, yes. Situations that require divine intervention, definitely. But look how the Lord fulfills his word. That's what we rely upon in desiring God to bring forth the fulfillment of his promise in our situation. So we think, we ponder, we consider, and memorize the promises of the Word of God and see how powerful they are, how wonderful they are, and the blessings of God that can come forth. Paul, when he says rejoice, in Philippians we know he emphasizes that word. That's the theme in the book of Philippians, rejoice. He's not just spouting platitudes that you should try to live by and try to adhere to. He's actually showing results. Because remember, the things that happen now when they approach Philippi or arrive in Philippi, Macedonia, that the call, the vision, the man saying, come and help us. And the Holy Ghost had said, no, don't go there. No, don't go here. And then the vision occurred and they recognized, oh, the Lord wants us to go to Philippi. So they did. And the results were immediate. Lydia and her prayer group down at the river, the Lord opened her heart. She was converted. She and her household were baptized. Praise God. What a powerful thing. The girl was delivered. And then things went bad. Is that a sign that God's not doing his work or that God's not with you and God's not? No, we got to recognize bad things happen to good people. But here's where the rejoicing became powerful. Because Paul and Silas beaten, their feet in stocks, in the inner prison at midnight, they began to pray and sing praises to God. Sing praises. There would be the logical thinking would be, I'm nothing to praise God for. I'm nothing to rejoice about. But Paul, this is where now he is saying, you've seen it, you've heard it, you've received it. You know, those are the aspects that he was saying, look at me. Not look at me from the standpoint of perfection, but from the standpoint of this is what you should do. And God showed up, and an earthquake, pretty scary situation. But look at the results. Their bonds were broken. The doors were open. A selective earthquake, if there's such a thing. The Lord could do it. Praise God. And then the jailer and his household were converted. So even in the ups and downs of the church being established in Philippi, they gave praise, they gave worship. And then the authorities recognized, uh-oh, we made a mistake. This man is a Roman citizen. We beat him without a trial. We're in danger of breaking the law. And so they wanted to scoot Paul and Silas out in a kind of a hush-hush deal. But Paul said, no, let him come and do it the right way. And so he did. You know, I think that speaks to us, too, about citizenship and rights and position. Because in the spiritual realm, obviously, you have powerful position because of the Holy Ghost in you. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Your presence makes the devil nervous, very much so. And so in that spiritual realm, we exercise power. In the natural realm, in the realm like Paul exercised here in his Roman citizenship, our American citizenship means a lot. I mean, there are billions in the world that would love to trade places with you. I'm not talking about becoming a political activist, but I am saying you need to exercise the rights that you have to speak out, to testify, to witness, to vote, you know, all of those aspects that are so important, and see how the Lord would be able to work. So we find our joy by focusing not on the circumstances, because that will be a downer, but you focus on the Lord and his promises, and hopefully the circumstances will change because of the Lord intervening and stepping in just like he did for Paul and Silas and the work that they did. Wow, the baptisms. The baptisms at the river were probably a whole lot easier than the baptisms after midnight with the jailer because of their condition. Now, they had been taken to the jailer's home and fed and ministered to and so on, and their backs cleansed and bandaged and so on, maybe as best they could. But I would imagine, unless there was a divine healing that took place, there was some soreness. There was some stinging. Oh, my goodness. But they baptized, praise God, because they recognized how powerful the Lord can work in every circumstance and the situations of the blessing. Now, somebody talked about a lifestyle of rejoicing. You've heard people, I have too. It almost seems superficial, you know, with a praise the Lord here and a thank God there and everything, you know, giving thanks for it. And it kind of gets watered down. You understand what I mean? I'm not talking about that kind of lifestyle where it's just people just start tuning you out because they know what you're going to be saying about everything. But if there's a lifestyle of rejoicing and the Lord is truly magnified by your victories, by your overcoming, that would be worthwhile. How do we achieve a lifestyle of rejoicing? What do you think? Okay. A purposing in your heart. Maybe elaborate on that a bit. Okay. A desire, a seeking, a reaching for, yeah, and recognizing the Lord is worthy of all of my praise from now through eternity. I still won't be able to thank him enough. Brother Rick.
In all things give thanks unto the Lord that sometimes when you do that audibly, that's one thing, but when you're literally doing that, that's where it becomes real.
Okay. Regardless of the circumstance, there's a thankfulness, and sometimes that's a challenge, but the fruit of the Spirit being joy, the presence of the Holy Ghost, joy unspeakable and full of glory, it is a divine nature aspect rather than a human nature, and we let that flow, and You don't have to have been healed from cancer to have a happy countenance or a rejoicing spirit. You don't have to have been, you know, have a testimony of a drug addict being delivered and so on. You'd be raised in the church, praise God, and never smoke a cigarette, never drink a beer, never carouse and engage in debauchery, and definitely give thanks because the Lord has preserved you from that stuff. So thank God. The rejoicing is ongoing. Okay.
Instead of, kind of like Rick said, you know, I mean, you just kind of go through the motions, so to speak. But when you have a true, genuine God coming down ministering to you, you feel His Holy Spirit, you receive His Holy Ghost, and God's actually ministering to you personally, it totally changes the outlook of your rejoicing. And a good example of that is Sister Sherry.
Yeah.
You know, we texted her as soon as we found out that she fell and broke her leg. Her first word was, I'm already thanking God that it's going to be healed.
Praise God.
I mean, she said thank you, obviously, but, you know, I mean, that's huge.
Right.
Because anybody could take that as a, you know, a downer. You know?
A big reason to complain and so on. Now, she didn't do a one-legged hop and, you know, thank the Lord she broke her leg. But she didn't let it become a overwhelming discouragement either. And every experience, every answered prayer, every met need, every thing you've overcome is definite reason to rejoice. And we thank God for that help. But let me come back to, again, the being raised in the church. A thankfulness for never having gone through the door of iniquity. Now, we all sin, we know that, but you know, you understand what I'm saying. You don't have to be an idiot to, you know, to really rejoice in the things of the Lord. Amen, Sister Glover. Okay. And that doesn't mean it's not heartfelt. It's certainly a good habit to be able to give thanks to the Lord. And again, not just a superficial saccharine type of words. You know, it's an expression of joy and thankfulness for the Lord being near you and providing for you. So, that becomes more of evidence of the Lord at work in your life and through regardless of what is happening, then the Lord shines through, and we thank God for that power and that blessing. Look at verse 5 of the text here. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. I've heard, I don't know if they're using this scripture when they say, all things in moderation. Have you heard that? All things in moderation. As though that is license and freedom to engage in things that the scripture says avoid. I know it sounds good, all things in moderation, but that's not what Paul is talking about here. The modern versions say gentleness. Let your gentleness be made known, or being mild. You know, it doesn't say, you know, go ahead and engage in wrongdoing or sinful activity because God will forgive it anyway. No, the Lord is at hand. He's there to give us strength and help us overcome, and he's at hand, he's at the door. We're about to get out of here in the rapture. So be prepared, be ready. But that excuse or near excuse of okaying questionable activity, that's not what Paul was talking about here. So making sure we're following through in the way that God wants us to is very important. When the Lord is near, we have nothing to fear. Not a simple little poem, but a recognition this is true because of the hand of the Lord to be there and provide. Look at verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry. Don't be upset. Don't be anxious. Be careful for nothing. And then notice how he emphasizes coming to the Lord. He mentions prayer and supplication and requests. All three indicating that we can come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need, Hebrews 4 and 16. That's the come boldly, because you can make your requests, you can make your supplication, you can make your prayer, and then don't forget thanksgiving. And thanksgiving is part of that rejoicing. And let me ask you, why does he include thanksgiving? Why does he say, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto the Lord? What's the idea of the thanksgiving being included? Because that's not the same category as prayer, supplication, and requests. Why does he slide that in there? Okay. So it's a sort of a thanking him in advance for the answers that you believe are going to come. Whatever the need is, it's going to be met. Okay. As you know, it's divine power. If I had the answers, I wouldn't need to ask. I would implement the answer myself. But there are so many things that I have no answer for. And his power. Anything else about Thanksgiving? Brother Norm? Okay, casting our care upon him, bringing our needs before him, and confident he's going to hear, he's going to answer, not my will, but thy will be done, and we wait and see what the Lord's going to do, and with a thankfulness. What's the opposite of thankfulness? The opposite of thankfulness, thanksgiving. Okay. Sister Linda? All right. An ingratitude that just ignores the hand of the Lord at work. Or anybody else. Remember, the last days, they're going to be unthankful, unholy, despisers of those that are good. You know, it's just a whole bunch of negative things that Paul listed there in 2 Timothy 3. And we recognize that that's there too. Somebody else had a comment back here. You guys, anybody say something there? Okay, Sister Glover. I give it to me because, yeah. Taking things for granted is that a sign of immaturity? It just popped in my mind. A sign of immaturity, taking things for granted. It's real easy to do that because we're humans and we just get used to something happening. On Thursday, I talked to you about faithfulness, a fruit of the Spirit, faithfulness. If we're not careful, we can take things for granted even in that regard. God's faithfulness to us and the need for others' faithfulness and so on. So being careful in that area is so important. Look at the last part of Psalm 77 and 3, the last portion of that scripture, Psalm 77 and 3. Somebody said that he used to think that people complained because they had a lot of problems. But then he realized it was the other way around. They had a lot of problems because they complained. And it was their attitude of not having an attitude, I guess, of gratitude. So it became a problem. Now look at Psalm 77 and 3. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. So we want to avoid that aspect of just having a complaining spirit. A Swedish proverb, here's some fill-ins. Worry is part of the human existence. The Swedish proverb said, worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Worry often gives a small thing a big shadow. Some more fill-ins. Worry prevents us from living for God because it distracts us from God's greatness. Whatever you put your attention on, that's what's going to be emphasized. We make our needs known to God with thanksgiving, and the peace of God. Thank the Lord for heaven's greatest treasures, one of heaven's greatest treasures, the peace of God. It surpasses all understanding. Praise God. And will keep your heart and mind. That's one of the beautiful promises of Philippians 4, verse 7. Mind here, we're talking about intelligence. We're talking about understanding. And your mind then is kept from negative thoughts, worries, anxieties, distractions from the divine that the Lord wants to emphasize in your life. And then that's why verse 8 goes on to give us direction on what to think about. Think on these things. And then the list includes those 8 points of where we're to direct our thoughts and make thought control be very important. The Lord added mind in Deuteronomy 6:5. You'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and might. Mind is used in Luke 10:27. So, make sure that is an aspect of truth that the Lord wants you to have. You know, Sister Glover and I were commenting about how the Old Testament, that Deuteronomy 6, binding them on your hand, bind them on your forehead, and so on, they actually do that. There's while they're praying, they actually have a binding, and then they've got a thing that they wear on their forehead. And they do it literally rather than spiritually. Because in my thinking, the Lord is saying, bind it on your hand. In other words, let it influence everything that you do. Bind it on your forehead. Let it affect your thinking. Let it be implemented to change your mind. You know, not a literal something stuck on your forehead and binding on your hands, but to have that power and that blessing of the Lord actually in our mind. So the NIV and other translations use different words here. Whatever is true, we thank God for truth. Whatever is noble, whatever is just or righteous, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable or of good report, think on these things. And our minds, being such an amazing computer, can go flying off somewhere else, you know. Even in a powerful service, things are moving and jumping. The hand of God is being demonstrated, and we're thinking about, let's see, I got to fix the fence. Our minds are capable of moving quickly. That's why memorizing. The psalmist said, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee." Memorizing scripture, memorizing songs. I bet you, for some of you, I bet you if I started humming a little ad, you'd be able to tell me the product that little ditty went to. That's how strong those little singing ads are. And they purposely use it that way because they want it stuck in your mind. And so when we purposely put scripture and songs or poems, whatever you want to memorize so that you keep your mind on the Lord, then that's good. Amen. If we fill our minds with rubbish, and the social media is full of it, that's going to affect your faith. Your faith will not be encouraged. So we've got to make sure we're directing our thinking in the right way. Okay, some more fill-ins here. The Philippians were taught to rejoice in all circumstances. And their minds were to think on things that encouraged their faith. And that's the aspect of making sure we have the hand of God in our lives being fulfilled, the letting God. That's what we mean by let God work in your life. Because you can let your mind wander to all kinds of crazy stuff. And social media helping you and steering you in the wrong direction. And so that's why we've got to be so careful. Social media can be used for so many good things. And thank God we're on it now with Facebook Live. If our hookup is working here, I don't know. Sometimes it doesn't. But the potential for so much good, but yet so much evil is there. So you got to have a filter in place and making sure that you can turn it off, or you can switch it away, or you can go somewhere else as you're searching or whatever you're doing, because you want your mind to be stayed on the Lord. Amen. And God working in us. When we surrender our thinking, our lives, our everything, there's an element of trust that has to be at work, faith, and trust that the Lord's going to be there. He's going to not let you fail, not let you fall, not let you become maimed and that sort of thing. But the strength that the Lord can work in your life is what is so powerful. Letting God work. That seems such a simple thing, and something on the surface that is, my goodness, I'll let God work. But then actually implementing it takes a great deal of effort and letting God have his way in our lives, to be directed by him, and making that choice the character of Christ being formed in us. And I like this. We make that choice for the character of Christ to be formed in us. We make that choice between Sundays. Not just on Sunday. Between Sundays. That's when it becomes real. That's when it becomes evident that that it really is on the inside. It really is coming out and showing in everyday life and everyday aspects because we've chosen to do that. And the power of the Lord becomes demonstrated in our lives. And the same thing that Paul said, how did he say it there in our key verse? You've learned, you've received, you've heard, you've seen. All of those aspects become part of what our lives demonstrate. And others then can learn and receive and hear and see. And the hand of the Lord being displayed in your life, and regardless of what the circumstances are, because life is life. We're going to face some things, but that's not that's nothing. Paul said, "Don't be terrified. Don't be terrified by your adversary." That's what he would want you to do. He would want you to be terrified by things that are happening. But the Lord said, when you see these signs begin to come to pass, look up. Lift up your head. Your redemption draweth nigh. Praise God. And so we recognize, oh, these things are going to come to pass. There are these situations that are going to happen. That doesn't mean we give up. That doesn't mean we just sit with arms folded and fingers drumming on the table waiting for the Lord to come and take us out of here. That means we engage in evangelism even more, even stronger, because, again, the time being short, we want people to come to the Lord. We want them to understand how powerful the things of God are. We want them to experience what we've experienced and know that it's real. It's real. Now, let me just say something about relationship. I know we emphasize relationship, and we do that over ritual. We're saying a relationship with the Lord is much more powerful than any ritual, anything rote, repetitive routine. We know we're saying that. But here's my concern. Relationship can eliminate church in some people's thinking. They can say, okay, I just need a relationship with the Lord. And that can be anywhere, anytime. And it should be. That's what we mean by relationship. But not exclusive of church. We need each other. We need, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. There's something dynamic that takes place there, not because I'm the teacher or whoever is the teacher, but because God's word is going to be implemented in that way. And we can expect our faith to rise. We can expect the blessing of the Lord. Amen. Two or three gathering together in his name, there he is in the midst. Praise God. And there's something powerful about it. That's why we like camp meeting. And my word, today's the 19th, a month away. And we'll be at the youth camp and then family camp. My goodness, it goes by fast. But I'm convinced there's nothing that takes the place of camp meeting. There's incredible things that have happened at camp meeting. And so all the expense, all of the time, all the effort, we want to be together. Amen. And that's part of our rejoicing. That's part of living a rejoicing lifestyle. And thank the Lord that We let the Lord have his way in our lives because we are thankful, because we do rejoice in his presence, and we let our light shine to lift him up, to exalt him. Praise God. And the blessings of the Lord that are right there for us. Amen. So our prayer time here this morning, so good to see Brother Rick. And we want to continue to pray that the Lord would minister healing to his ankle and for Sister Phoebe. Darn Armstrong is out of the hospital. He'll have to wear a monitor for a bit because he did have a stroke. But we were visiting when the speech therapist came and checked his swallow reflex and memory and so on, and he passed all of that stuff. So thank God there are no lingering, you know, complications there. But they do want to monitor his heart. So we'll pray that the Lord would be with him. Sister Sherry and her need, surgery on Friday, that's coming up. So trust that the Lord will be with her. Brother Mike came through his surgery well and recovering. Pray that the Lord would continue to minister to him. Sister Belinda was not well and requested prayer for her sister, a mass found. So last February, I think we prayed, and God did a work. Let's believe God will do a work for her sister again. Amen. Services with Pastor Greg coming up, starting with the Schools Out picnic and then on into the end of the month. We're looking forward to tremendous things happening in the Spirit. Amen. People that we'll invite and bring to the house of God. We're believing the Lord for good things. Amen. Needs that you have, needs that you want to make known. Thank the Lord that these needs can be brought to him with thanksgiving. Just like we said, let's stand together. Amen. So many needs, but thank God he is able. Lord Jesus.